one of the consistently good newspaper cartoons of all time is Calvin and Hobbes. Most of y'all read Calvin and Hobbes, I presume. In one little strip, Calvin's mother is sitting there in the morning on the sofa, and she's drinking her morning coffee. And in comes Calvin, and he says good morning, she says good morning, and she looks at him a second time, and there he is. He has a space helmet on his head, and he has a cape draped around his shoulders going down his back. And in one hand, he has a flashlight, and in the other hand, he has a baseball bat. And she looks at him, and she says, well, Calvin, what's up today? And he said, nothing so far. So far, she asked. Well, you never know, Calvin said. Something could happen today. And by golly, if it does, I'm going to be prepared and ready for it. Calvin's mom looks at the reading audience, and she says, oh, I'd love to have a suit like that. We all sometimes wish we had a suit like that to protect us from the things that go wrong sometimes in the world or the things that we're afraid of. Our scripture this morning tells us that Jesus and the Father will come to each and every one of us and make a home with us. Not a home made of wood, but a home in our hearts. It will abide in our hearts, bringing their peace. Now, I want to talk a little bit about peace this morning. I love Sandra Bullock movies, maybe because my mother's maiden name was Bullock. But I watched for the umpteenth time one of her movies on TV a week or so ago. It was the one, I forget the name, where she goes undercover in a beauty contest. And all of the contestants they have this interview time, and all of them, their stock answer to the question, something like, what do you wish for the most? They all smile sweetly and say, world peace. Except, of course, it's Sandra Bullock. But world peace. World peace is something that we all wish. It is important. And Jesus makes a point of telling his disciples that he is going to bring to them peace. Peace within their souls. First, let's look at the world's peace as the world gives it. Jesus recognized this kind of peace. He couldn't very well ignore it, being a Jew in that first century. He understood history, and any Jew living in Jesus' time would be able to tell you and rattle off information about all the small skirmishes with the Ammonites, the Philistines, Amalekites, the Moabites, and a whole slew of others. And they would talk to you about the devastation wrought by the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the exile. And if history were not enough to remind the Jews, every time they walked out their door into the street, they were confronted with the fact that they were ruled by the Romans. They were part and parcel of a Jew's interaction every single day to remind them that they were a conquered people. They understood how fleeting was this peace of the world. And to make this picture complete, stop and realize that Israel itself, the nation of Israel, has not known national stability ever. It was created in the 1940s as a nation, and all of its life it has been engaged in or preparing for or having war. They do not have a settled environment, even to this day. For 2,000 plus years, they have known unrest and the lack of peace, even our own country. From the revolution to COVID, We have had battles and unrest, violence in our streets. Unrest has marked our nation's history. Not peace, but unrest. Peace I leave you, Jesus said. I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not give as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. We recognize in Jesus' words that this is a new covenant. It is not a covenant of land. It's a covenant of his heart. Remember the first covenant God made with Abraham? Leave this land and go where I will lead you. And Abraham obeys. That was the first covenant. And here Jesus is laying out the possibility of a second covenant. Obey what I say, and I will give you peace. Simple, but very hard. Jesus is telling his disciples, you no longer live in a covenant for land, but you live in a covenant about love. You no longer work for a nation. You work and serve your neighbors. You no longer live under the law, for you are under grace. You no longer act out of fear, but you serve out of joy. That's the difference between the two covenants. One is based on the law. The other is based on love. We don't often think of this as a covenantal passage, but I believe that it is. To live with anything else would doom these people to the mistakes of the past, and they would never find rest and never find peace. Every nation looks for national political peace. Have any nations found it and kept it? I don't think so. If you know of one, please tell me. If you don't know my email, call the office and Marianne will give it to you. I would love to know if there's any nation that has found peace. Jesus was doing something different. Instead of laying down the law to be obeyed, he has to change their relationship to God. He has to reshape their lives into something other than members of a country. He has to reshape their lives and their hearts so that they become members of a community. They have neighbors, they have loved ones, they have friends, they have colleagues. They have fellow church members. That's how he wants to reshape their hearts. Their theology will no longer be tied to a nation and a land, but instead will be tied to the person of Jesus Christ and to love. The world seeks political peace, but it also tries to offer us personal peace, that very deep and personal peace for which we all long. The late columnist Ann Landers used to receive, they say, over 10,000 letters every month. And when once asked, what is the most frequent topic people bring to you, she didn't have to think for very long. She said, fear. They are afraid of losing their health, losing their job, losing their sustenance, upsetting their neighbor, alienating a family member or a friend. Some are just afraid of committing a social faux pas. Whatever it is, they all seem to have some kind of fear. Ours is a world of fearful people. Worldly peace does not exist. Now, I'm not saying it can't exist, but we know when we wake up each morning and listen to or watch the news, when we hear from family or friends that are having troubles, we are reminded that the kind of peace the world gives is temporary and fleeting at best. But the kind of peace that Jesus brings gets into our hearts, into our souls, and changes us and resides there. Second, there's the peace that the Lord gives. During Dante's exile in Tuscany, he knocked on the door of a Franciscan monastery, and he was asked, "What do you want?" And his answer was, "Peace." So all he wanted was peace. It's been one of the deepest desires of people forever. I recall the story of a little girl who was on her first train ride. Are any of you old enough to remember when there was a sleeper car on the train and people could actually get into a bunk and fall asleep and put a curtain, and there would be sections, a group here up to four, and then a group here and here? Well, a family had one of those four-bed compartments, and the mother takes a little girl as it's beginning to get dark and puts her up in the top bunk. The little girl is anxious, and after a bit, she says in a quiet little voice, "Mommy, are you here?" "Yes, dear, I'm here." A little bit later, a little louder, she says, "Daddy, are you here?" And he says, "Yes, dear, I am." Well, this goes on, pauses in between, but it continues and continues and continues until finally, a man at the other end of the sleeper compartment says, "Yes, we are all here. Your father, your mother, your aunts and uncles, your cousins, we are all here, so lay down and go to sleep." The mother had told the little girl that she was putting her up in the bunk and she'd be nearer to God, so she'd be safe and well taken care of. So after this outburst, there's a silence, and after a bit, the little girl says, "Mommy, was that God?" That's not the kind of God that we worship, my friends. You may be someone who has little doubts about God's presence in your life and his faithfulness. You may be someone who has felt very comfortable with God in your life. You may be well acquainted with the peace of God. If you are one of these people, you are very blessed, and you are among the few in this world. Fear of darkness, fear of the day. At various times and for various reasons, people fear other people, the law, the family, friends, enemies, life and death. We are fearful people. I grew up with an alcoholic father, so fear has been a big nemesis for me all through my life. We all have fear at various times and for various reasons. Jesus made it clear to his disciples that he wanted them to have peace, not fear, but peace, and that he would leave that peace with them. He would leave that peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about world peace. We've also talked about the peace that Christ brings. But there's a third question. How can we receive this peace of Christ? How do we know we can get this into our hearts? And what do we have to do? Jesus is very clear in this covenant. What we have to do is obey. It's that simple. Just like Abraham. God told Abraham to leave this land and go to the land that I will show you. And what did he do? He started packing his bags. He went, he obeyed God and followed and found a new land. That is the same call to us. Obey. Obey these words. Obey this call to serve and love others. That's what we need to do. There is peace that the world offers and peace that Christ offers. But there is this peace that comes from obedience. Jimmy Carter, in his book of Sources of Strength, tells about interviewing Eloy Cruz, a very spiritual Cuban pastor. He had a tremendous rapport with the poor immigrants, particularly those from Puerto Rico. "What's the secret to your success?" Carter asked him one day. Pastor Cruz replied, "Señor Jimmy, we need to have only two loves of our life, love for God and love for the person who happens to be in front of us at any time. Love for any person who happens to be in front of us at any time." Simple. Two loves. That's all that we need. Jesus was preparing his disciples for tough times. He was getting ready to leave them. And he knew that they wouldn't quite know what to do while he was gone. He knew that they would be worrying and could be afraid because he was no longer there to protect them and lead them. So he wanted to leave them his peace so they could make the journeys ahead in their path. It was 1520 when Ferdinand Magellan was trying to find a passage east to west around the tip of South America. And he battled fierce storms. This was one of the roughest passages on this earth. He fought waves, he fought ice floes, he even had a mutinous crew that he had to deal with. And he took 1 year. I didn't realize this until I was reading up on it, but it took him 1 year to go around that cape. Named for him now, Cape of Magellan, Straits of Magellan. Horrible, horrible passage. Ice floes taller than the ship's mast that they were in. Frigid waters. The worst weather anywhere on this planet. And when they finally made it through that passage after a year of trying, think of that, a year on a tiny ship battling the wind and the waves and each other sometimes. When they finally made it through, what did they discover? A beautiful blue, still ocean. And when they got through those straits, Magellan and all of the crew stopped and they lifted their hands to God. They gave thanks to God for bringing them through this difficult passage. And Magellan looked at this blue, still sea and he called it the peaceful one, the Pacific Ocean. Every time you hear the Pacific Ocean, think of peace. The peace that it brought, the tranquility that it brought to these men on this ship who had battled for a year to get there when they really didn't even know what was there or what they would find after they got around this strait. The first thing they did was pray to God, prayers of thanksgiving. In his words this morning, Jesus desires to lead us in the same way to a place of peace, recognizing that we too go through turbulence when all we are seeking truly is to make it through and find some peace. In his words this morning, Jesus desires to lead us in the same way to a place of peace. He will be with us as we encounter the angry winds and waves in our life, and we will encounter such. But it is his hope and desire to direct our feet and our actions and steer our lives away from the path that leads to damnation, but to turn our path towards the life that leads to his love into a place of peace, a peace that can fill our hearts with love for one another. I offer you today the words of our Lord Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. May the peace of God be with you. Amen.